This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
Now move into the scripture reading for this morning. And this morning's passage is taken from Habakkuk chapter 3. Now, I'll invite Sister Joanne to read the passage for us. This will be a good time for you to grab your hard copy Bibles, but if you do not have one, the verses will be displayed on the slides as well. After Sister Joanne reads the passage for us, I'll invite Pastor Nick to come and proclaim God's word from this passage.
Habakkuk 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoh. Lord, I have heard of your fame, I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time make them known, in wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth, he looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, and the age-old hills collapsed, but he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you thrashed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head, but in his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who are in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. For the director of music on my string instrument. This is the word of the Lord.
If your Bibles are, please keep them open to Habakkuk chapter 3. And also I'd like to thank all of you for making it here. Good job. It's very different from GBHQ. And I think some of us had to look for parking, look for the right MRT entrances to get out of. So yes, thank you for making it. Thank you for the music team and the PA team for setting up. I think it was quite a rush this morning. Yes, also I think there's a little bit of rush for the children's ministry teachers. So if your children are being taught by any of them, please thank the teachers for putting in the hard work to set up today. Okay. Yes, let me pray for us as we look at God's word. Let's pray. God of mercy, you promised to never break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your word, your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So recently, some time ago, I read about some tips about maximizing your Thai fun order. So this is a rice and dishes order. Okay, so one is you order during evening time. Because at evening time, they try to give you more because they want to close. Okay, next, don't rush your order. Don't say, uncle, I want rice, egg, vegetable. Yeah, no, don't rush your order because uncle will just give you rice, egg, vegetables and not linger and put a little bit more vegetables, more stuff on your rice. Okay, the last tip is what I got from someone in church. For the ladies, ask a guy to order for you. Okay, why? Because some servers, as they're dishing out the food, they think, So ladies, they eat less, so they want to save food. So they give the ladies less food. Yeah, they want to save food wastage. So if you don't follow these tips, you look at your food, you look at your friend's food, then you realize it's not fair. How come they get more and I get less? It's not fair. We all have this fairness alarm. When we sense unfairness, our fairness alarm goes off. Yeah, I think some of us are parents this week. Maybe this alarm has gone off many, many times at home. With our kids. And sometimes, for us, this unfairness alarm goes off against God. But why didn't God give me the toys I want? Why didn't God give me the grades I need? And why did God give me sinful desires that I can't act on? And why didn't God give me a spouse? Why did God allow my family member to have this sickness? And why did God let this person die? And if this unfairness alarm goes on for too long, we'll learn to ignore it. We'll learn that maybe God's not just, or maybe God's not fair. And we move on from God. So today we are looking at a book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is what is a prophet. But Habakkuk's unfairness alarm went off against God. He felt that God wasn't answering his prayer. And so that's what happened in chapter 1 and 2. So in chapter 3, he has heard God's answer. And chapter 3 is Habakkuk's response to God in song. So we'll reflect on his Habakkuk's song today. And we will see what God, we need to remember God when life is unfair, when we suffer. Okay, so why we are going through Habakkuk is because this week and next week, we are having two topical weeks. It's a lead up to what we're going to learn in the book of Lamentations for 5 weeks. In the book of Lamentations, God's people lament about being cast out from the land or being in exile. So in Habakkuk, you see one perspective of why God let the Babylonians attack his own people. So in Habakkuk, it's because of God's people's sin. And next week, we'll see from 2 Kings chapter 24-25, it's also because God's people have rejected God as their God. And so these 2 weeks will be helpful lead up for us in our series in Lamentations in 2 weeks' time, where God's people will grieve about their suffering in singing. So today we are at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, I think the main thing is to teach us to always remember God. So let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. So it says there, prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on the Shigeo North. Okay, so this is a prayer from Habakkuk at the Shigeo North. You got some of your footnotes to say that it's a musical term. So this is a prayer that is sung. So what led Habakkuk to pray this prayer, to sing this song? Well, to understand what's going on, we need to look back at the rest of Habakkuk. Okay, so I'll give you a quick overview. So Habakkuk saw great injustice and violence among God's people. I mean, the very people that had God's law, they were breaking it. So he says, "Oh God, it's not fair. You are silent when there's injustice." So the wicked Jews were hurting the righteous, and the wicked Jews, they were getting away from with their injustice. Maybe they bribed judges to ignore all complaints. Maybe they exploited the legal loopholes. So justice is perverted. And Habakkuk has been crying out day after day for help, and God seems silent. So in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, Habakkuk says, "How long, Lord, must I cry for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save?" God, it's not fair that there's injustice. God, it's not fair that you're not listening to me. And one day, God answers Habakkuk. God lets Habakkuk in on his plan. Chapter 1, verse 6, God says, "He is raising up the undefeated and the merciless Babylonians to punish the wicked Jews." And the Babylonians will utterly crush God's people. Now Habakkuk was shocked at this plan. So Habakkuk protested. Chapter 1, verse 13, protested. Habakkuk says, speak to God. God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? So Habakkuk says, it's not fair. Babylon's more wicked than Jews. How can you, the holy God, use the unholy and idol worshipping Babylonians? How can God let the wicked Babylonians destroy the more righteous Jews? It's like sending the bloodthirsty Nazi Germany to crush an entire nation, but because its leaders accept bribes. It feels unfair. So God replied, chapter 2, verse 4. For the rest of the passage, I'll just read on chapter 2, verse 4. He, the enemy, is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness, will live by his faith. So God says, Babylon is doomed. God will punish a proud Babylonian. So God's righteous people, in chapter 2, verse 4, they must have faith in God, keep believing in God, until God brings his full justice. So here's another way to summarize, to put all what God says into a timeline. Okay, so what's going to happen? So right now, for Habakkuk, the wicked Jews are persecuting the righteous. So the righteous suffer. And God says that the merciless Babylonians will come. So when the merciless Babylonians come, wicked Jews will be punished. But the righteous will also suffer. And after that, God will bring judgment on the Babylonians. So the merciless Babylonians will be punished, and only then that the righteous will live. So now Habakkuk knows God's plan. Now Habakkuk knows that God is fair. So this is where he writes Habakkuk chapter 3. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk wants he and God's righteous people to always remember God. Because their suffering was going to continue for a while. So this passage, Habakkuk chapter 3, is a song for God's people. It's a prayer in song for God's suffering people to always remember God. They need to always remember God's works. They need to always remember God's power. They need to remember God's works and God's power for strength. So first, always remember God's work. So Habakkuk prays. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. So Habakkuk, he remembers what God has done before, about how God has acted in the past to rescue his people, to defeat oppressors. So one time, this happened was when God's people were enslaved to the superpower Egypt many, many years ago. And God's people were slaves in Egypt, and they were powerless against Egypt. But God was not powerless. God showed his power by sending 10 supernatural plagues to defeat Egypt. And God even parted the Red Sea for God's people to cross, to escape from Egypt. So this was the Exodus from Egypt. And we find this in the book of Exodus. So Habakkuk is remembering what God has done in the past, his fame in the past. And as he remembers what God has done in the past, this helps him to pray for another saving work. So that's why Habakkuk says, repeat them in our day. Remembering what God has done before helps God's people pray. So Habakkuk teaches people about what God will do so that to pray that God will do another saving work. To pray that God will do another exodus to save God's people. Another exodus to show wrath on the wicked Jews, to show wrath on merciless Babylon, a Babylonian, and to remember mercy to God's people. So in this song, Habakkuk teaches God's people to keep praying for God to save as he has done before, to act in his great power to save them. So next, Habakkuk reminds God's people about God's power. In verse 3 to 15. Now, this song thinks two things about God's power. So first it says that God's power is fearsome. God's power is supreme. In verse 3, God's glory fills the heavens, covers the heavens, fills the earth. And Habakkuk thinks of God's power like this undefeatable enemy. So when God attacks, there's no way to win. Now, God's army isn't made up of elite commandos. Some of us here, we were commandos here, and then I was just a lowly driver. Yeah, so I can't help you much. But God's army is not just made of people. It's just like God's army is so powerful, it's made up of natural disasters. Look at verse 5. A plague went before him. Pestilence follows his steps. So God used 10 plagues and pestilences to defeat the superpower Egypt back in Exodus. Now, Egypt was again a superpower then. They had the best defense technology with chariots and horses. They conquered vast different distances in a short time. But even this superpower couldn't stand against God. So all creation feared God's power. In verse 6, the God, he stood, shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. How can we imagine the powerful destruction of God's power? Well, it's just like imagining one plague, like maybe COVID. You see, one COVID brought our world to its knees. Now imagine if 10 plagues hit the world like 10 plagues hitting Egypt. It's like it'll be like 10 COVIDs hitting the earth back to back. So that's how fearsome God's power is. But God's power isn't random. God's fearsome power has a focus. God's fearsome power acts to defeat enemies in wrath and save his people. So God's fearsome power, as you can see, he works on creation. That's what happened in Exodus. But you can see that also in verse 8. In verse 8, God's wrath acts on the waters. So just like how God parted the Red Sea so that Israel passed. One of our children's ministry teachers was speaking about how God separated the Red Sea. Well, what she did is she got a container of water and then she challenged the children. Children, come, see if you can part the waters and let the Israelites pass through on this container. So the children, they took the container. So what I heard is they tried to use their finger and tried to move their fingers in the water so that there will be a path. But they couldn't make that path for the Israelites to walk through, so they failed. Now imagine it's more than this a container of water. Imagine this water is more like the water separating Singapore and Johor. And God separated that water. That's how great God's power is. So God's power acts against the water. In verse 9, imagine if God's power acts against the land. Then dry ground will be overwhelmed with gushing rivers. God's wrath, so powerful that it can defeat land. It makes land look more like water than land. So that's how powerful God's wrath is. And God's wrath is act on his enemies to save his people. In verse 13, Habakkuk says, you came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader, you crushed the head of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. So the Babylonians, they will take God's people prisoner, exile them, take them away from their land, take them away from home. But God will come to save his people. God will come to save his anointed one. God will come to save his king. And God saves his people by destroying the enemy. And God will destroy the source, not just destroy the enemy. The passage that here says, God will destroy the source of all problems. He says he had to crush the leader of the wickedness, of the house of wickedness, to crush the head of wickedness. God will crush the head of wickedness. Destroying, it means that God will completely destroy wickedness. And when that happens, there will be no more evil in the world. No more wicked Jews, no more merciless Babylonians. Then God's people can be saved and live securely, saved from all wickedness. So God's fearsome power is like this powerful army And God will ultimately defeat the source of wickedness so that God's people can be saved. The last time I preached, I used a movie, and someone told me I forgot to explain the context. Okay, so this is another movie. So this is Batman versus Superman. It's not a memorable movie, so you don't have to watch it. Okay, so but in this movie, the thing I remember is about what this one character said. So this character is the bad guy. His name is Lex Luthor. So he says that he recounted about how when he was a young boy, God didn't help him when he was abused as a child. So God didn't help him when he was abused, this is what he says. This is what he concludes. If God is all powerful, he cannot be all good. If God is all good, then he cannot be all powerful. So this is the explanation of why God didn't save him in the past. And what Lex Luthor in the movie says is actually what people think today about God. There is suffering in the world. There's war in the world. But because God isn't doing anything immediately, for some people they think that there are only two options. If God is all powerful, then he's not all good. Or if God is all good, then he's not all powerful. But friends, Habakkuk's song reminds us that God is all powerful. And God is all good. He will defeat wickedness, the head of wickedness, with his fearsome power. It's just that God doesn't act on our timetable. So this defeat, this crushing of the head of wickedness, doesn't happen immediately. Friends, when we question God's fairness, sometimes we expect God to act immediately, to bring immediate relief to us, to bring immediate justice. So when we continue to suffer, we question God's power, we question God's goodness. And maybe we even question whether God exists. Maybe God doesn't exist. Habakkuk's song reminds us that God exists. He is all-powerful. And he's good to all people, all his people. He will defeat wickedness. But God's people must wait for God to do that. And they must trust God for strength. From verses 16 to 19. So what we've seen today is Habakkuk teaches us how to respond to suffering when we are tempted to think that God's not fair. So Habakkuk chapter 3 reminds us to always remember God's work and God's power so that we can have strength. Strength again. Now the wicked Jews, they persecuted God, a righteous people. So this is what happened, we've gone through already. And the merciless Babylonians were coming to deal with the wicked Jews. So the immediate future for God's people is terrifying. So there's going to be suffering, and the wicked Jews are going to be suffering under the merciless Babylonians. The comfort only comes ultimately, in the ultimate future, when God defeats wickedness. So when God says all these things, this means that both the immediate and the ultimate future will happen. So Habakkuk gives God's people the words to think, respond to the immediate future, and to wait for the ultimate future. There are two parts to this song. So first, to wait and rejoice despite suffering. Now in verse 16, you see there is internal fear, but wait. Now Habakkuk acknowledges that this internal fear about the immediate future, about the coming Babylonians, his whole body engulfed with fear, gripped in fear. Listen to how fear grips his whole body, verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Fear affected his whole body. Now the Babylonians, they would be brutal to God's people. A bit of a spoiler for next week. The Babylonians will surround Jerusalem for 2 years, preventing people from going out for food. So when they do that, there'll be the people inside Jerusalem, they will run out of food. And after the Babylonians attacked, they captured the king. What they did is they made the king watch as they killed his son. and then they pull out his eyes, so that the last thing he remembers to him will be his son's killed. So it's natural to fear, verse 16. Habakkuk teaches people to think about this fear. But not just think about the fear, Habakkuk also teaches God's people to wait in their fear. So in verse 16, even though there's all this fear going on, in the second half of verse 16 it says, yet I will wait patiently for a day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. The day of calamity will come on the Babylonians. God's people can wait for that day of calamity, when God will defeat the Babylonians and rescue his people. There is internal fear, but wait. And in verse 7, next you see in verse 17 to 18, that there is external destruction, but they can rejoice. So it's internal fear, but wait. Verse 17 and 18, there's external devastation, but rejoice. So external to the individual, the Babylonians will devastate the land. The Babylonians will take everything from God's people. They'll destroy then they destroy everything. There'll be nothing left for God's people. In verse 17, let me read it for you. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall. There's no food, only starvation. But God's people might starve to death. And in this external devastation, God's people can still rejoice. So verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So you might ask Habakkuk, how can you rejoice in such terrible affliction? The Babylon siege has stopped water to your city. Your plants have withered. Your livestock died. You have no food. You are going to die. It's not even your fault. Habakkuk, how can you rejoice? Or Habakkuk will say in verse 18, I will be joyful in God my Savior. God said he will judge the Babylonians and save his people. And I trust in his word. So God will save his people, so God's people can rejoice about God who will save them. And for the God people, they trust that God is their strength. Strength to face the immediate future comes from knowing what happens in the ultimate future. Strength for the immediate future, strength for suffering, comes from God's promises. So God has promised to save them. In verse 19, God is their strength. So don't just look at your situation, don't just look at your suffering. Remember your Savior. Yes, your immediate suffering will cause you fear. Your immediate future will cause you fear. But you can have present joy because of what God has promised in the future. The source of strength is in God's promise. The source of strength isn't in your ability to endure suffering. The source of strength is in God's promise. And God's people can rely on God's promise for strength. Because what God promises, God delivers. God promises deliverance, and he will save. And you and I also need to rely on God's promise for strength. So yes, today, the Babylonian Empire doesn't exist. The Babylonians have been defeated. But you and I are still waiting for the head of the wickedness to be crushed. For all wickedness to stop. So who's going to be defeating the head of wickedness? Jesus Christ. So we just finished a series in 1 Corinthians, and we went through 1 Corinthians 15. I wonder if you remember that 1 Corinthians 15 saw that Jesus Christ will be defeating all enemies. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then the end will come when Jesus Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father. And he does that after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. So Jesus' future work is to destroy all opposition against him. And for him to do that, he must be more powerful than all opposition, all other powers. So friends, Habakkuk's song is also our song. So you and I we need to always remember Jesus' work. You and I also need to always remember Jesus' power to destroy all opposition. Jesus will crush the source of wickedness. Jesus will save us from all wickedness and sin. And we can always trust, we must always remember Jesus for strength today. For strength as we suffer. We must trust that Jesus has promised that ultimately he will defeat all enemies to save his people. So our ultimate future is safe with Jesus. Until that ultimate future comes, wickedness will rear its ugly head today. Wickedness will grieve us, hurt us, and even kill us. We must remember, we must always remember Jesus' work and Jesus' power for strength. And that's what we read in our responsive reading today in Romans chapter 8. So I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the future, with the glory that will be revealed in us. The suffering now hurts, but our present suffering cannot compare with our future glory. Because our future glory with Jesus is booked, it's secure. In our present pain, we need to wait for the future. And we can rejoice now for that future because Jesus is our strength. So we always remember Jesus' work and power for strength. But how to always remember? What helps us to always remember? So because this passage is about singing, so I'll say two things about singing. So first, we sing to remember. We sing songs that teach us about Jesus. So our music ministry chooses songs that teach us about Jesus. So it would be great if, one way that could help us is keep singing the songs that we sung through the week. Maybe if you use Spotify, use Apple Music, fill your playlist about those songs that teach you about Jesus. So that the truth about Jesus will keep ringing in your mind to help you remember. And we don't just sing truth through the week, we also sing songs that we're in pain. So when you sing songs about Jesus, then if you know songs about Jesus, then sing them when you are suffering. Sing songs about Jesus' promise for the ultimate future reminds us about Jesus' work, Jesus' power for strength. So for Jesus to be our anchor in turbulent times, to be our light in the darkness of pain, be our companion in the loneliness of struggle. So sing to remember. The other thing we can do is we sing to remind. So when we gather, we sing, we always sing, and we can sing to each other. We sing to each other to remind one another about the hope that we have in Jesus. So friends, sing aloud. So you might be embarrassed about your voice. You might think that it's enough that God hears your singing. But we sing to remind one another, to teach one another. So we sing because the person sitting next to you, the person sitting across you, needs you to teach him or her through your singing. So God works through your singing to remind all of us about our hope in Christ. So sing aloud and sing loud. I'd like to share about this person. Her name is Toni Erickson Tada. So she was paralyzed in an accident when she was 17. But now she's 74. So between 17 and 74, all these years, she's paralyzed. Not just that, she's been suffering from pains all over her body. And what is it that helped her persevere? For her, it's singing about Christ, singing about God. And so she put together a song list, a song book, a devotional song book, based on the songs that she sung all these years to help her through her suffering. So this book is called Songs of Suffering. I strongly recommend this book for sufferers and for potential sufferers. That's all of us. So one time I was at a bookshop and I saw this book, and it's so good that I cleared the bookstore of this book. So it's a really good book. So do get it for yourself, and do get it to give away. So this is what she says about singing. So she says that there are courageous celestial anthems to learn, hymns that will carry us from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. brave songs that shore up our hearts for life battles. It's why hymns should be memorized. You've heard it said, we are what we eat. But I say, we are what we sing. So friends, we are what we sing. Remember, think to remember Jesus' powerful work. Think to remember Jesus for strength. Because you are what you sing. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we praise you for our future hope, confident hope in Christ. Please keep us persevering until that day. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Nick, for proclaiming God's word from Habakkuk chapter 3. We typically have a time where we will discuss some questions in relation to the talk that we've just heard. But because this is Communion Sunday, we do face some time constraints. So what I'll do is I'll flash the questions on the slide, and we can perhaps take a snapshot of this so that we can have some fruitful discussion either over morning tea or even over lunch. So the first question is, in what situations might someone feel that God is unfair? The second question, what songs have helped you in difficult times?
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.